There is a global movement emerging, a global hunger for vision and strategy to take the message and power of the kingdom of God into the streets, the marketplaces, the public squares of the world. To see the love and power of Christ released in real and practical ways, redeeming and transforming individual lives, families, cities, regions, and nations, impacting every part of daily life and culture. If this is your vision, you're already part of the movement, and we want to do everything we can to encourage and equip you. The Intensive is a new series of tactical teaching sessions brought to you by Street Faith, the podcast channel from One Rock Strategics and the Empowerment Institute. Drawn from actual live seminars and coaching sessions, these more focused and detailed presentations are designed to help you maximize your kingdom impact in your sphere of influence. These are excerpts from live sessions, and some focus may be uniquely directed toward the particular gathering. But the framework and concepts covered are readily applicable to any group or individual seeking to sharpen their understanding and impact where faith intersects the areas of influence in the arenas that mold and shape the hearts and minds of cultures. I'm DJ Swanger, and this is The Intensive. Session 1, Colliding Worlds and Tectonic Shifts, Part 1 of Why You Feel the Rumbling.
One of the results of the survey that we did was that pretty much everybody was agreed that either at the top or close to the top, that we should start with the rumbling question. Why do we feel the rumbling, and even what is it? And when I put down that question, I put it down the way I did because it's almost something more that you feel, that you sense, than having anything to do with a clear set of events that you're seeing happening. It's a general sense. Particularly folks with a prophetic orientation, but not even just restricted to that group of folks. People are experiencing a growing sense of disquiet and dissatisfaction with the way things are. Whatever that means to them. It's just something has to change. Something has to be different, both personally and generally. What's the source of the acute disquiet that you're experiencing? That's the first question I want to ask you all. And that's the first question we want to hit as we move into the coaching. What is the most acute sense of disquiet that you are personally sensing? And what is the biggest challenge that you are sensing with respect to the emerging ministry that you guys are a part of as a group? What's the biggest wall that you hit consistently? You have huge victories on these projects that you do. But I know just from conversations that there are times when it's like bang and you hit a wall. Just think about it. About those questions. The disquiet. Is it a gift or is it a curse? Or is it both? What are you supposed to do about it? I would throw out to you that what we're experiencing is a manifestation, a sped up manifestation of what Jesus talked about when he said that everything that could be shaken would be shaken. That the world we're moving around in, the culture we're moving around in, is experiencing that shaking. And we have been so immersed in the culture that we're not even aware of the degrees sometimes to which it's influencing us. It's coloring our perceptions. There's a guy named Irvin Laszlo who was a linguistic philosopher and social engineer. Laszlo wrote about epochs, E-P-O-C-H, you know, or epochs, however you want to pronounce it, and the way in which epochs shift because frameworks shift, the framework that people use to even look at life. And his key point was, if you can control language, you can control the way people think. If you can control terminology, you can control people's ability even to formulate a certain type of thought. And there is a driving force in our culture right now to create significant shifts in language. You see it in the way people are crucified for a term that they'll use. Christians, more and more, are being vilified for the kinds of exclusive language that they use. You know, we talk about Jesus as being the only way, and it's like, you know, we're axe murderers. That's one example. Ultimately, the kind of rumbling that I'm talking about is, I believe, our perception of some shifts that are taking place. When two continents come together, or two sections of continent come together, there's pressure that builds up where those two worlds collide. There are key pressure points that build up. And as that pressure builds and shifts start to take place, there are rumblings that take place that can shake the entire landscape. So why do we feel a rumbling? I think we feel a rumbling partly because there are, in fact, two worlds colliding with increasing frequency. In the immediate culture we live in, you know, in Little Grand Rapids, we may not have been aware even 10 years ago of the degree to which this was going to be taking place. But there's a very clear example in almost every daily newspaper of that collision occurring and the shift and the shaking that's taking place. There's a perspective presented in Scripture that is unique among the philosophies and religions of the world. This is another reason why we sense the rumbling. The biblical perspective tells us that there are, in fact, two worlds out there, and that there are two histories occurring. There is a history that's rooted in creation that has been continuing on, in spite of all the stuff the enemy has attempted to do, continuing on toward the culmination of God's plan. God doesn't have a plan B, and his history is unfolding. Yeah, the enemy derailed, defiled, counterfeits, all of those things are occurring, but there is a progressive, ongoing revelation of the character of God that is going to culminate in the shalom that he intended coming into its entire fullness. But there is a second history that is occurring concurrent with that. That history being the history of the fall. And those two worlds have been running parallel to each other. Those two histories have been running parallel to each other, and each one has been experiencing its series of seasons, its series of fullnesses of time, as it were. And when those come into contact in direct confrontation, things get shaken. One history began at creation. It's about shalom. It's about the seventh day God resting, saying, it's good. It's done. There are deposits of that call of shalom, that call of God's order, that what we talked about last time, that calling of order out of chaos. that are part and parcel of our very being. It's the thing that calls us to more, and it's a calling from deep to deep to us. Which is why we feel so disquieted, so stirred up sometimes when we read the newspaper or watch the news. The other began in rebellion with perversion of the good things that God had done. It's a clash in the heavens and on the earth. Sometimes we even feel like there has to be more going on here than what I'm seeing. Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians that part of the mystery of what God's plan is that his purposes are being laid out as a demonstration for the inhabitants of the heavenlies to see. He's proving a point to the angels. I think that's an essential point for us to understand. We think of angelic beings and the heavenly realm as being this thing out there that is so beyond our reach and so beyond our understanding or even our capacity to understand. And yet, they're scratching their heads, according to Scripture, wondering what's going to happen next. Because God's demonstrating his character to them through what's happening here. This is the main stage. So why do you feel the rumbling? You feel a rumbling because it's there. You feel a rumbling because it's real. You feel a disquiet because you should. Brain science indicates that we are, as humans, processing something on the order of 40 billion pieces of discrete information every second. We're taking it in. But our sense gate filters, what we see, touch, taste, smell, feel, our sense gate filters, that grid, our expectations, our history, even down to our language and what we believe. Some people don't believe there's any such thing as the angelic. Some people don't believe we ever landed on the moon. Our paradigms, our frameworks, prevent us from registering all of this. I mean, it gets stored, it gets perceived, and it gets tucked away somewhere in there, in a synapse, attached to a neuron, and it's in there, but we don't even know what to do with it. We don't have the framework or the grid to do anything with it. But it's there. We've got levels of perception occurring that we're not consciously aware of because our eyes aren't opened to it. We don't consciously interact with it. And yet we have examples and statements made in Scripture that turn around and tell us, like I just said, that we are a demonstration to the angelic. You know, the prophet's servant standing on the hillside going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And a prophet prays for him, and God opens his eyes, and he sees that this whole army that he thought was going to destroy Israel was in fact being destroyed by angelic armies. There's a whole other realm occurring out there. There's a whole other realm of structure, a whole other dimension that we are, or dimensions that we are experiencing that we can become more aware of, that we can become more astute about. If we're able to get shed of those kinds of cultural paradigms that filter the stuff out and keep our eyes closed. The philosophical term for that is subspecie eternitatis, and it comes across, it means from the perspective of the eternal. Where do we get that vantage point? How do we achieve that vantage point? We miss the boat in not attaching the level of significance that we could to the fact that there was a pivotal moment in history, a pivotal fullness of time moment that everything up to that point had built toward, when this veil that separated the most holy place in the Holy of Holies and the rest of the world was ripped from bottom to top. There is no separation anymore. There doesn't have to be. A way has been opened for us to begin to move into that much more clearly, with a much greater level of focus. Lance Wallnau talks about maximizing your impact and finding key, what he calls force multipliers. You gain your focus, there's a force multiplier. I would say the first key force multiplier is that relationship with God in Christ, and that act of God in ripping the veil and in putting us back into that covenant relationship so that we do start to see in bits and pieces. Right now, we have a tendency, and I do the same thing. I hear from God, and I know that I'm hearing from Him clearly, and I treat that like it's an event. Wow, that was really cool. Or I begin to see something, I'm praying about something, I'm trying to focus, whether it's developing a strategic thing with regard to a business plan for somebody, or whether it has to do with praying over somebody that I'm coaching with. I want that laser-like clarity. And when I get those moments, there are people I work with that I coach. That, I'm not going to use the word revelation to describe what's going on, but it is revelation. When those occur, I still have a tendency to have a major oh wow moment. And yet, if we take seriously what Scripture is saying about what our relationship with God is supposed to be, and if you've spent any amount of time with me, you'll find that I am much more about relationship than I am about technique. You know, there are techniques and there are principles that arise out of moving around wisely in the world. But there's also a need for fluidity, for agility as things come up. And there's really not a set of, if this comes up, then you do this. If that comes up, then you do that. You can't write a manual for that kind of stuff. It's about relationship. The real key force multiplier to take your wiring in proximity with the right people at the right time is the presence of God. And it's your immersion in the presence of God individually and your immersion in the presence of God as part of a community of people who are filling in the gaps for you. And vice versa, you're filling in gaps for them. So there's a horizontal and a vertical aspect to that. But those are the springboards. That relationship, that empowerment is the starting point, springboard for getting that clarity, getting that laser-like clarity. And when we have something in us knowing that I could be doing more, we could be doing more, hearing that deep calling to deep, that's a rumbling that you're hearing. That call for more. Then you're going to be able to get into, and this is the other piece, you're going to be able to get into a level of kind of analytic perception where you're looking at what's happening and you're drilling down with regard to the stuff you're confronting in your ministry and beyond your ministry, seeing how your ministry fits and plugs into the broader scope, the broader direction of where God's going. Of looking not just at those places where worlds collide, but looking at in the people that you're working with, the way their lives have grown up. What are the structures there? How do those maybe align with actual structures in creation? There's a professor I had named Nick Walderstorff, who, I want to say he coined a term, he actually stole it. But the term he uses is architectonic analysis. It's, we need to look at the world from a perspective of its architectonic structure. What's its structure? What's the tectonic events that are taking place, where the worlds are colliding, where there are pressure points building up? But also, what are the structures that have grown up? Social structures, structures in the church, in the family. How are people doing the things they're doing? Anytime a group of people comes together, they build some kind of structure. That's our nature. We're builders. What foundation is it built on? You know, Jesus said you're a fool if you build on sand instead of a rock. Personally, I think you're crazy if you build on an earthquake fault line. There are a lot of people do it. Not real sure you're any saner if you're building 20 feet below sea level and depending on a series of levees to keep the ocean out. What kind of foundation are you building on? And what kind of structure are you building? Is the building sound? Is it designed well? There's a rumbling that can be heard when structures are starting to crumble. The earth starts to shake and buildings start to come down. There's a rumbling that can be heard when there's a tidal wave coming, when there's a big wind coming that's going to shift things. I think we feel a rumbling because there is a forerunner calling. We have a forerunner calling. A calling that's hearing things, that's sensing things that other people aren't sensing yet. I think we're going to have an increasingly focused and acute perception of the significance of the type of message that John the Baptist preached when he said, there is an inbreaking kingdom. There is something new, something radically other coming. And what is right now is already passing away. The axe is already laid to the tree. That type of a message makes more and more sense as the days go by. Yet, people in general will still look at you like you're off your rocker. They want to fix the structure. They want to stave off the inevitable. And one of the things that we need to do is, as believers, as people who are moving into cutting-edge, front-line types of ministries, one of the things we need to do is to position ourselves to address the collapse that people experience in their lives and position ourselves to frame the conversation. You know, God said through Amos, I don't do anything that I don't first reveal to my servants, the prophets. So we're starting to hear. We're starting to sense what's going on.
You've been listening to Tectonic Shifts and Colliding Worlds, Why You Feel the Rumbling, Part 1. This resource and other offerings on the Street Faith podcast channel are productions of One Rock Strategic Media and are made available for online listening and download under a 2017 Creative Commons copyright. We encourage you to like and follow Street Faith at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com and share our podcasts and special sessions with your friends. You'll find more resources on our website, as well as information on how to get actively involved in the Seven Mountain Alliance and how to financially support this emerging global movement. Visit us today at sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. That's sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. Thank you for listening. I'm DJ Swanger. Have a great day and a blessed life.